So you want to hear about the dog, the dead dog, and the king. Did you know that story is in the Bible? Before I tell it to you, let me invite you to take it, your Bible, and stand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, again you've heard our declaration that we would be like Jesus. And Lord, to build a relationship, to build an everlasting friendship, we have to spend time with others. We ask that as we spend time with you, that we would know you and that we would be like you. Thank you, Father, for being with us today. And I ask that you'd be with me as I bring the message. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Oftentimes when we preach a sermon, it's either topical or we deal with some Bible doctrine, but we don't often look at the stories that's found in the Bible. And of course, I encourage you every Sabbath that I'm here that you would spend some time each day studying your Bible. And I suppose there's no better place than opening your Sabbath school quarterly and spending 10, 15, 20 minutes a day in study. And of course, I don't believe you should begin the day or end the day without prayer. You see, prayer is the key that unlocks heaven's storehouse. And as we talked about, we looked at some of the promises found in God's Word. The one that jumped out at us from our Sabbath school lesson this week was delighting ourselves in the Lord. Oh, what an experience it is to have that relationship with Him, and that the desires of our hearts are met because of the relationship that we have. So I want to look at, encourage you over the next week or two to look at some of these Bible stories, and I want to tell you their hearts. They are more exciting than anything that you will find on the television because, especially when it comes to, movies or, storytelling on television. It's nothing there that really expands your mind, especially like the Bible. So I want to encourage you to study the book of 1 and 2 Samuel. Now, 1 and 2 Samuel, we begin in the first book, and you know the story about Anna and Elkiah. Anna prayed, to the Lord for a child, and Samuel was born, and seems to me he was 3 years of age when she took him to the temple and gave him to Eli. As we study, we find out that Eli was not a good priest. In fact, his sons were terrible. They treated the people badly. But as we study the book of Samuel, you're going to see that there are three main characters. There's Samuel, there's Saul, and there's David. And all of the stories as written about these individuals are really, really exciting. And I want to share with you the story about the king and the dead dog today. But before I do that, one of the things that as you study the Bible, as you study 1 and 2 Samuel, you're going to find out how important leadership is, especially faithful leadership A leadership that is in tune with God and is obedient to Him. And you'll see that as long as Israel was obedient, the blessings, the showers showered down from heaven. But when they were disobedient, God's blessings were withdrew. But even in these times when it was bad in Israel, God's marvelous grace demonstrated again and again, in spite of Israel's repeated failures, God's love was shown. And you will see these themes as you read these stories in 1 and 2 Samuel. These themes are going to jump out at you. Another theme that's going to jump out at you is worship and the importance of worship. It was by this time the kingdom of Israel had been divided. There was Judah in the south and there was Israel in the north. And of course, Israel wanted to be, at first, you know, when the two nations were together or when they were all together as one, they decided that they wanted to a king. They wanted to be like the rest of the world. And of course, God told Samuel, He granted them their request. And of course, Saul was chosen. And at first, Saul did pretty well. But soon he began to allow, the power that he seemed like he was usurping God's power. And he was doing things that he ought not to do. He was even offering sacrifices in the temple, the work that the priests were supposed to be doing. Saul wanted everything. And of course, God was displeased with that. And as you study, as you read about the stories about Saul and his disobedience and his failures, pretty soon we see God tells Samuel to go and anoint another king. And of course, David in chapter 16 is anointed. And you know that story. It's a wonderful story. Jesse had 12 sons. And when Samuel came to anoint one, he brought in, the first boy. And no doubt Jesse was proud of all his sons. But, the firstborn, there's something special about that individual. He brought him in. But Samuel says, no, he's not the one that God had shown me. And he brought in all his sons except the least. And that was David. And Jesse must have thought that David was so insignificant, he didn't even invite him to come. Because surely he thought one of my other boys, my firstborn, probably was going to be anointed as Israel's next king. And when it was all through, he says, well, have you no other sons? This is not the one God showed me. And he says, yes, I have David. He's out there tending the sheep. Samuel sends for him and comes, and this is the boy. Oh, it's a terrific story. You will enjoy it as you read it. One of the first things that young Daniel did, you all remember the story of David and Goliath, don't you? That story is in Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Then we see how things begin to change in Israel. Israel is divided. There's unrest. Saul is continuing to, David is young. Although he was anointed to be king, Saul would not relinquish that responsibility. And he began to drift further and further from God. And he began to do some really crazy things. And finally, Saul begins to persecute David. And David has to flee. But David developed a friendship with one of Saul's boys by the name of Jonathan. And him and Jonathan became really, really close friends because actually Jonathan was in line to be king after Saul's death. But Jonathan also knew what Samuel had done, how he anointed David to be king. But instead of Jonathan becoming jealous or angry, him and David drew closer and closer together, and Jonathan committed his friendship to David. And what a terrific friendship. What a wonderful story. You're not going to want to miss that particular story in the Bible. Then as Saul sought David, David had to flee into the hills and the mountains to get rid of him. Saul would send his armies out to try to capture him. And David had this really queer or funny experience with a fellow by the name of Nabal. But do you know he ended up having Nabal's wife? And Nabal, is that how you say it? His wife. For his wife, Nabal died. David was ready to take his life, but David didn't do it. God took care of it. Folks, there's something about a trust factor in God that He works everything out to His honor and glory. And I think that's why it's important that you should read these stories, because it'll give you a confidence in God that maybe you don't have. But these stories are absolutely wonderful. You take one of these stories each night, you will not want to spend time with the television when you start reading these stories, because it's going to expand your mind. It's going to cause you to ask questions. It's going to cause you to dig deep. And of course, you know the stories about David and his conflicts. Finally, because of Saul's shenanigans, you know, the ark is taken by the Philistines. And of course, when the ark is removed from Israel, that means that's where God's Shekinah glory and everything, that God's presence was gone. And as a result now, there was just absolutely chaos. Finally, Judah gets so fed up, or the southern part of the kingdom gets so fed up, that they had a coronation, and David became king over the southern part, Judah. And it wasn't long after that before Saul and the Philistines still fighting, that Saul and his sons, two sons, Jonathan and the other fellow, they were put to death. It's a great story. When you get into 2 Samuel, it's more about David and his exploits, his work as king over Judah. And finally, after Saul's death, it was several years later that David is made king over both Judah and Israel, and he begins to bring the nation together. He does away with the idolatry. And of course, David made some terrible mistakes, didn't he? He lied. There was murder. He had, I don't know how many wives he had altogether, but he had a bunch of sons. And you can read about all the different, the things the sons did, as David got older, they tried to take over the throne, and it's really intriguing. But David, he often remembered his friend Jonathan, the sacrifice that Jonathan made, and the friendship that was formed. In chapter 8, in chapter 7, you see God reiterates His covenant with David. He asked David to build the new the temple. He says, it's not right that, you know, my house should be made of skins and all you are living in houses of cedar and precious stone. So he wants a temple. But he tells David, because you're a man of war, I can't use you to build the temple, but I'll use one of your sons. But I want you to prepare all the materials for the new temple. Down in verse 15 of chapter 8 it says, So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered judgment and justice to all his people. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Amalek, the son of Abiathar, were the priest. Seraiah was the scribe. Benaiah, the son of Jediah, was over both the Cherites and the Pelethites. And David's sons were chief ministers. So of all of David's family, or his sons, was involved in the rulership of all Israel. But as you read the stories, you see how greed and selfishness begin to take over, and the adulterous relationships, the incest that took place within the family. You see, God, He not only recorded the exciting, or you know, the good things, He also recorded the bad things that they did. But in spite of David and his failures, God stayed with him, because David had a heart that was turned towards God. You remember the story about Bathsheba, and how Nathan the prophet had to come and talk with him. And David's heart just absolutely broke, and he cries out to the Lord to create a clean heart in me and renew a right spirit in me. There's some wonderful lessons to be learned as you study, as you read the stories in First and Second Samuel. Now, verse 9 says, "Now David said, 'Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?'" Usually when one king took over after another king died, especially if they usurped the throne, they went in and killed off all the relatives, the army generals. Anybody that had any influence in the old kingdom was done away with. But David was not quite as cruel as that, although several of Saul's faithful servants, they were doing things. And finally, David was fed up with some of the things they were doing, and he sent out several of his men, and he took care of the problems that they were causing. So now, sometime after David is reigning over all of Israel, David said in chapter 9, verse 1, "Now David said, 'Is there still anyone who is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?'" Jonathan and David were so close, and David grieved the death of Jonathan. In fact, it was because of Jonathan, his friend, that he went down the Philistines. After they captured Saul, his two sons, they took them back to one of these Philistine cities and hung them up on a pole so everybody could see them. There was revelry, there was dancing, the stuff was going on, and David heard about it. So David went down and took the bodies of Saul and Jonathan and gave them a decent burial, and his other brother, of course, and gave them a decent burial. Took them away. He also went and got the ark and brought it back to Israel. The Philistines had it, of course. Now, so he's asking, is there anybody left at the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant at the house of Saul whose surname was Ziba. So when they had called them to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He answered, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may now show a kindness to God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who was lame in his feet." Now, when you read the story of Jonathan, he had a son by the name of Mephibosheth. And when the Philistines captured Saul and Jonathan and his other brother and took them down to into the Philistine city, the servant or the lady who was taking care of Jonathan's son, she ran for her life because she knew that the Philistines would come after anybody that was a relative of Saul. So as she was running, she dropped Mephibosheth, and I guess it damaged his feet or his legs or something, but it says he was lame in his feet. So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Manasseh, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Now, I don't know about Ziba, but maybe if I was Saul's servant Jonathan's servant, and faithfully, overseeing what was happening to Mephibosheth, his son, maybe I would have had doubts about telling David where he was. But instead, David had such a kind heart. He did so much good that Ziba believed that nothing would happen to Mephibosheth. Then King David sent and brought him out. That was Jehoshaphat, out of the house of Manasseh, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. And then David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear." Don't be afraid. "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and I will..." And can you imagine now what was going through Jonathan's mind? "I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." It must have been with fear and trepidation that Mephibosheth showed up at David's palace. But as David and Mephibosheth talked, and he told them about the friendship between his father Jonathan and himself, Mephibosheth began to have confidence also in David. But can you imagine now exciting it must have been for him that David would give back everything that belonged to Saul? All the land, the castles, everything that Saul owned is now yours. Wow. And then look what happened. Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" The dead dog and the king, or the king and the dead dog. A heart filled with gratitude. And he looks at David and he says, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I. He had absolutely self-worth. Can you imagine how low it must have been? His grandfather was dead, his father was dead, and I have no inheritance. Everything belongs to David. I had all this, but now I have nothing. He had every right to be on a pity party, didn't he? But no, when David came in and told him that he could have everything his grandfather owned, all the land and everything back, it just absolutely boggled your mind. And he says, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" Usually those who were considered as no better than the dogs, in Israel, they were the Gentiles, especially in Jesus' time. And the king called to Ziba in verse 9. And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do." "And for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." Now, can you imagine Mephibosheth sending Ziba back to Lodibar and bringing his sons, his family, his wives down to Jerusalem? "We're going to eat at David's table." Can you imagine him talking about his grandfather Saul and everything that Saul owned? "It was given back to me, and now you can have a part in this inheritance." It was like winning that $360 million lottery for someone. It had to absolutely boggle their mind. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. In fact, when Mephibosheth turned up lame, he was blemished. In fact, Mephibosheth would be actually the rightful heir to be king in Saul's, in his father's place. But when they lost it all, now because he had lame feet, he knew that there was no chance, no opportunity for him. But can you see God's graciousness, God's mercy in this particular story? Mephibosheth gets everything his grandfather had. He gets the inheritance of his father. And he gets servants and people to take care of him. And he gets to eat at the king's table. In every sense of the word, we live in a world that's filled with sin. And we, in some sense of the word, are just like Mephibosheth. But one day soon, when Jesus comes, he's going to give us that wonderful inheritance of heaven. What an exciting place that's got to be. "I hath not seen nor heard what God has in store for his people." And I want to tell you that when Mephibosheth heard David tell him that he can have everything, all this inheritance, he must have had to take some time to comprehend it all. But folks, in the meantime, we have some probationary period. God has promised us an inheritance. Just stay faithful and claim it. You may not understand or comprehend everything now, but I want to tell you, you will be as excited as what Mephibosheth must have been. May God bless you as you look at these stories in 1 and 2 Samuel. I know it will make your heart glad, and you will rejoice. You'll have thankfulness in your heart for God, and you will be blessed.